So squeeze this extra hard, right?
No, don't. Please don't.
Hello, everyone. I'm an addict, and my name is Patrick.
Hi, Patrick.
Anything else I put in front of that, I'm an addict, and I don't put anybody down. I used to say when I first got clean, I'm a grateful recovery. I can't put a label on that, right? Like, I'm an addict, and I identify with you guys as addicts, men and women. This is an honor and a privilege. I want to thank the committee. I kind of didn't have a choice. Drew kind of just said, I was up here for Father's Day surprising my dad, my pop, and he's like, hey, you coming up to the retreat? I said, yeah, I think I'm going to come. He goes, good, you're speaking. I said, okay, thanks.
And I can't say no, man, to service. I'm involved in service in H&I down in Florida, carrying the message in to facilities, right? My topic is just for today. I'm going to try not to get caught up on the topic and just go with my spirit. I'm very literature oriented. I grew up with literature. That's the way I taught. That's the way I identify. When I can't hear something in a meeting, I have my literature open and I can go to the book and I know I can hear something. Because not everything you say is going to save my life. And I'm fighting for my life. I have a disease that's with me right now that wants to kill me and it does not want me to share a clear NA message, right? I have the disease of addiction, cunning, baffling, and powerful. However, it can be arrested, right? Never cured. So I think of it as, I got locked up a lot of times. I never knew how to stop using. I always thought, all right, I go to jail, I get out, next thing you know, I wanted to stop so bad that I didn't know how to stop. I didn't know about this. I didn't know about the tools, the survival kit of Narcotics Anonymous, right? The steps are our solution. The steps are my solution. That's how I live, by principles and applying them, right? I'm the addict. I was born and raised in Florida. Grew up a kid that was always good at sports. The reason I was good at sports, because I wasn't validated by mom and dad, because mom and dad were always arguing or using, right? The disease of addiction was present long before I picked up that first one, okay? So it tells me in here, right? And the just for today, that's my topic, so I did a little bit of reading. It says, rigorous honesty is the most important tool in learning to live for today. Although honesty is difficult to practice, it is most rewarding. Honesty is the antidote to my diseased thinking. Our newly found faith serves a firm foundation for courage in the future. When I say my disease was present long before I picked up, through doing a fourth with a firm foundation of 1, 2, and 3 when I first got clean, right? Because this is my second time getting clean. But my disease was present before, when I was downstairs messing around with my little cousins. Not knowing why it happened. Not knowing when or where my parents were or the other adults were to stay there and be like, that's not what you're supposed to be doing right now at 7, 8, 9 years old. That was my disease. That's what I've been trying to hide from all my life. So I got clean in 2015, July 2nd. That's not my clean date today. I went back out. I moved to Florida. I was supposed to move to Brazil. I did everything I wasn't supposed to do. I went to Florida. I didn't get plugged in. I stopped doing the things. I stopped going to the basics. I stopped communicating with my sponsor. I stopped going to meetings. Oh shit, here he comes. Now I gotta really stop lying. So I stopped communicating with my sponsor. I stopped going to meetings. But before all that, right, and he can help me identify this, right? Like before all that, like what really happened, Patrick? I had an emotional lapse, right? I was emotionally not in it. Because what happened is I was stuck. I didn't have a backup plan. I'm supposed to be going to Brazil. Now it's COVID hit and I'm stuck in Florida. And I used. Not then. A couple of years later, I remained abstinent. I talked to him maybe once every 4 months.
3 months, 2 months, I don't even remember. I got complacent. Complacency is the enemy with people with clean time. I'm paraphrasing what the literature says, right? And I got complacent, man. I didn't do the work, and I used. And how I used was I picked up a drink, which is a drug. I am not normal. I cannot use one drink. I thought I could do it. My wife is on the phone, and she's been a part of this process, and she has a part to play in this. I can't take all the blame for it. Because she knows what she's been around. She's been in the meeting. She knows the pain that I've shared. And she tells me, Patrick, I'm driving home from the car dealership. I was making good money, and I had already people around me. We were talking about this doing stepper today. I had people around me that I shouldn't have been even conversating with, because people, places, and things, they're talking about using, smoking weed, and taking Adderall, and my disease is already active before I even picked up the first drug. And like, I was passionate like this before, man. But when I first got clean, I didn't have a family, right? I got a 7 and a 9-year-old now. And like when I used this time, last time I wasn't hurting nobody but myself, my mom, and a couple family members, right? This time it got to the core, right? Self-obsession is the core of my disease. It's in what can I do? If somebody tells you self-centeredness is the core of your disease, go to your fucking literature, because they don't know what the fuck they're talking about, and you should probably find a new sponsor. For me. And I got clean this time, man, and it's funny how I got clean. Because I got restored back to the natural state, right? I was in the using state. I was leaving the strip club because I told my wife, I said, I'm taking the keys and I'm going out. And I didn't even tell her where I was going. And I went to this strip club. It really wasn't a strip club. It was the redneck strip club. Because if you think of Florida, cows and all that shit, like, it was horrible. I don't even remember what they looked like because I was so fucked up. But I'm leaving there. And, I'm in my mom's car, and I don't have my lights on. God doing for me what I couldn't do for myself at that very moment. I got stopped by the police. Thank God, the God of my understanding, that I did not kill somebody. That I did not hurt somebody, because it could have been so much worse, man. This was June 1st, and I got locked up, and you know, I knew what the, so when you have the information of Narcotics Anonymous and you go back out, I don't know if you have the experience with it, but I do, it is the most uncomfortable thing, because every time I got high or put a chemical in my body, I just still did not enjoy it. But I was running. And like there's two admissions in the first step. Right? The second one is when I can admit complete defeat, right? And today, just for today, I'm admitting complete defeat, right? And I'm not allowing my disease, and my sponsor talks about it all the time, giving it the power it doesn't deserve. So recently, I just went through some things with like my health. Like, I'm talking about being my own in my own prison, man. Like, I got to the point where I didn't want to live. I didn't want to get out of bed. I got two kids. I got a wife. I had a business, right? And I didn't want to live. I didn't know how to feel. I was numb. Still trying to pray. Still trying to practice what I've learned through this program. And I reached out. I remember, you know, I had a lot of things going on with me. Like, my heart stops when I'm sleeping for like 3.2 seconds. I remember calling my sponsor. I'm driving and I'm trying not to get emotional, but like, I'm afraid to die. Like, I don't want to die. And like, my kids seeing me go through this phase of my life of using. And my son said to me the other day, we're on our
I used to, there was a neighborhood I could get high in, right? And we don't discriminate. It was an HOA community, right? Where there's fucking fancy people and, you know, doctors get high too, right? Well, my son says, Dad, I miss the times when we would sneak out of the house and you would go see your friend and I would just sit on my scooter and we would ride scooters all night. And I just said, buddy, like, I'm sorry that happened. He goes, why, Dad? He goes, I had a great time. I said, because you shouldn't have been in that position, buddy. And when you're older, I'll be able to tell you. You know, I can't. This is the literature tells me it's a program of learning, right? The last time I was up here, we went to a speaker jam, and this was with the first time I started to get some actual relief, right? Drew was like, hugged me, and he's like, when are you gonna put the bat down, right? And from that moment, like, I don't think I put the bat down, I just stopped swinging it as much, right? And I was going through this, like, mental illness, and there's and at times for illness, like, there's other literature for us, right? And I sought help, and I got the help I needed, and now I'm on the road to, like, equaling back out. Life is starting to feel purposeful. Like, I had to get a business. I opened a business. I knew what I know how to cut trees. I know how to climb. I know how to rope. I know how to do all this crazy shit as a tree service. I know how to cut lawns. Living skills were reduced to the animalistic level out there. So, like, I knew how to get money to go use, right? So I opened up this business because I had lost my job because I couldn't call out because I was in jail, right? And I was working for Wawa. Great. Oh, it's an outside entity. I'm sorry. I was working for them, and I started working for them. I'm not endorsing Wawa. But I was working for them, and I felt good, and this was when I was using. I felt like purposeful there, right? And then I opened up, and I had to get a business because, like, I had to make some sort of money to actually provide for my family. And the money's good in tree service and law and doing landscaping outside. Like, it really, really is. But I did it, and I was happy, and I was successful, and I knew how to do it. But, like, as the owner of the business, doing it by myself, while my wife has her own occupation that she does, and I kept asking her for help. I kept asking her for help, like, with estimates and stuff. But she can only do so much. I have to physically go out there and bid on the estimate. I have to pick up all the debris. I have to climb the trees most of the time. So I had all this pressure on me, and I finally I got a machine. I went out and took out a loan, right, on a Kubota SCL 1000, and now I'm sitting here with this payment because I gave it all up because my spiritual condition was broken when I was running the business. Because without the drug, I could still be mentally, spiritually bankrupt. I was bankrupt. Like, it just hit me out of nowhere. Like, I couldn't handle it. My hormones were everywhere. I didn't know what to do. Like, I've had these issues going on with my body. Like, I get pains in my legs. They try to say it was like a blood clot, maybe cellulitis. And I'm sitting here thinking I'm gonna fucking die. And, like, obsession and compulsion can do it without the drug, man. Like, I was obsessing and compulsing every day. There was no just for today for Patrick. Like, I was like, man, God, is this the day? I didn't want to get out of bed, man. I was paralyzed. But I didn't use. I didn't pick up, and I didn't want to pick up. So I just kept fighting through. I kept fighting through. And I'm at this state now, man, where, like, I feel like I have a purpose. Because at that time, I didn't feel like I had a purpose, right? I didn't feel like I was worthy. I had no dignity, right? I had I had no self-respect, right? And we were just talking, me and my sponsor were just talking about, I'm finished going over one, right? Like, and my step process isn't like, it's not just we read it and go over it. Like, I'm glad my sponsor is the way he is, because he pulls out the shit that I cannot see. And we were talking about inward and outward unmanageability today, man. And like ever since then, like I've been thinking about it, right? Because the inner is my belief system and what I'm putting in front of my belief system and what I'm gonna do before I actually do it. And then the outward unmanageability was, you know, and at that moment when I'm sitting in it, like I feel this worthless. I don't feel like I'm a good father. I don't feel like I'm a good husband. I don't feel like I'm a good human being. Right? I'm a spiritual being in a human body. And the outward unmanageability showed with my kids, with my wife, you know, and all that to say is like, I gave up the business. I still have the equipment. I'm still paying on it. I'm living paid. We were living good. I'm not going to lie. We were living good making with her income and my income. But money, property, prestige, It like my own spiritual well-being right now, I don't give a fuck about that money. I do not care about that. Like, I true happiness, right? My spiritual awakenings happen when I'm with my family. It doesn't matter what the fuck I'm doing. I could be sitting on the couch, we could be watching Kung Fu Panda, both all of us saying skadoosh together. And that's my spirituality, man. That's me. Or when I'm outside playing soccer with my son, and I just heard another member share, man, and I felt this. He was talking about his little girl could do no harm, and she's like got this fierce attitude, man, mine too. Like, her name's Charlotte, and she's ready to take on the fucking world, and she thinks she's 21 and she's only 7. But I know she won't take no shit. And she knows that she's gonna know how to be treated as a man. She's seen me screw up. But you know what? Humility in action is when I say I'm fucking sorry, and not when I say I'm sorry, but when I actually put the action behind saying I'm sorry. And how do I do that, Patrick? I show up to her cheer practices. I take her out for ice cream. I spend these times with her. I ask her how she feels. We're getting ready to move to Tennessee. I ask her how she feels about it. And she's able to express it. Now my son, let me tell you this. Narcotics Anonymous gave me, and when it talks about lost dreams awaken, new possibilities arise, like, yeah, I got high and I fucked up, but that doesn't take away all the benefit, all the knowledge, all the information that I've got from this program. I am not a newcomer. I was in a halfway house. I was talking to some people before this. I got clean in Altoona. Went to a facility there, went to another facility. I wasn't court ordered, I was beaten, and I had enough at that time. Obviously, I wanted some more pain, so I like pain, you know, so I went back out, right? But when I first got clean, I had a girl pregnant, she was in state college, and I remember to this day, on July 1st, I called and I said, hey, I'm ready to go, in short. They came and picked me up. I left her there with a baby in her stomach that's my son. He was later on, she went back to Florida. She was pregnant with him, had him in January 15th. Now before then, people were calling me saying, Patrick, hey, listen, she's getting ready to have the baby. I'm like, dude, I only got so much time clean, like I don't want to put, because I asked people. I asked my sponsor at the time, I asked my support group, hey, what would you do in this situation? Right, the Just for Today talks about the decision-making process. Like, I am not capable consistently making good decisions. My track record shows that. And my son was born in Florida. He was born addicted. 9 years ago. He's 9. And like through this process, I was able to get an attorney. I was flying down every other month, picking them up, bringing them back. I had got out of the halfway house. I got a two-bedroom place. It wasn't the biggest fucking room for him, but I knew I was gonna have a room for this kid, right? I didn't get him then. I didn't get full custody when I got out of the halfway house. It took a little bit. We got an attorney. We were getting him every other month for 2 weeks. I was flying up, flying back down, bringing him on an airplane, changing his diapers in the midair in the airport. He was the kid, you know, he was a baby, so he was screaming a little bit, you know. And then one day, the biological mom doesn't show up. Attorney says, keep him. Not only do I have custody of my son, but my wife has adopted him. I don't think you guys understand. Like, I wasn't there for my son's birth. Like, I wasn't there to see his head come out of the womb. I wasn't there to cut his umbilical cord. I didn't have a fucking say in his first name. Kaysen. But I was damn sure there. 5:33 when my little girl was born. And I say all that to say, like, I'm fucking hard on this kid. But recently, I was out there Thursday before here, and we were out playing soccer. And I've noticed and I've experienced, like I've created a lot of outward unmanageability towards him. But it's crazy, right? Like, gosh. Sharing is risky at times. But by becoming vulnerable, we were able to grow. I don't want to stop growing. If I'm not growing spiritually, I'm headed back. And I don't want to head back. I'm not going back. Just for today, right? Just for today, my thoughts will be on my new associations. People who are not using and found a new way of life. As long as I follow that way, I have nothing to fear, right? And, you know, it's funny, you know, the literature, man, it says, I'm going to end with this. It says, relapse could be the jarring experience for a more rigorous application, right? The rigorous application hasn't been on my time, right? It's on God's time. And the way things work is like Drew asking me to share. I didn't want to fucking share. I don't want you to tell you about me. I don't want you to know who I am. My disease says, hey, Patrick, go up there and tell them some fucking lies. Don't let them know who you are because I'm afraid you're going to hurt me. I'm afraid you're going to use it against me. I'm going to end with this last little piece, and it's out of the Just For Today IP, if I can find it. All right, so it says, a lot happens in one day, both negative and positive. If we do not take time to appreciate both, perhaps we will miss something that will help us grow. Our principles for living will guide us in recovery when we use them, when we find it necessary to continue to do so on a daily basis. So with my family, with my friends, all about relationships, with my higher power, with my sponsor, and with myself, I'm going to continue to give myself that daily reprieve just for today. A day clean is a day one. I'm in a program of learning and I'm not going to stop learning. The literature tells me that this is a program of learning. I have to learn. I don't like fucking learning. But I want to save my life, so I'm going to do it. I don't want to die. You know my people didn't make it back? I made it back. The door was open for me. Narcotics Anonymous was in Florida, too. You know, I'm just grateful to be here. I'm grateful to be alive. I'm grateful to have today. I'm grateful to be in this moment. I'm grateful to just not have to worry about guilt and shame right now. And I have some freedom. I'm an addict, and my name's Patrick.
Totally worried about how I was going to get my fix for the next day. I didn't know what it meant then. I knew I'd be sick in the morning. Just worrying about that. That's all I did just for today. And then coming into the program, I have to say I had an amazing sponsor. I am 55, she was my son's age, and I thought, what could I possibly learn from her? And, you know, not to mention she has degrees in psychology, you know, she knows what she's doing, and thank God I had her. She pretty much had to teach me everything. I had to learn everything from her. I couldn't grasp what the steps, what they all meant, and she, I will just be forever grateful for her because she taught me so much about living just for today. You know, that worrying is a lack of faith, and I was raised in a Baptist church. Woman went like severe, like women wore dresses. Period. Most of the women were the little, you know, prayer bonnets, and that's what I was raised, and they were very, I mean, I'm sorry, but they were very judgmental. My mother, who had been divorced, married and divorced four times, every time she would happen to come to church, the preacher would speak on that subject. Just, you know, no tattoos, very, very strict religious upbringing. And as I got older, you know, I lost touch with that. I've always believed in my higher power, God is my higher power. Coming in here, I had to be open-minded to other people's higher power. I wasn't used to that even. Not everybody has to have the same higher power. So I had to get used to that a little bit. But I guess at coming here, I realized I was an addict way before I thought I was. I did not think I was an addict until I found my drug of choice, which I needed every single day to survive. That, to me, was addiction. So this program taught me so much stuff. I was molested by my stepfather. I put that in the back of my mind and was okay with that my whole life. You know, told myself that, like, I'm over it, it happened, it's over, whatever, life goes on. Doesn't bother me none, you know. I always tried to be that tough person, you know, never let anything get to me, and like coming here, not only that, but other things that's happened in my life made me realize, you know, you have been an addict since you would get on your little Honda Trail 70 and ride back the dirt road into the fields for miles and get off your bike and pop the seat, take cap off the gas can, start huffing, you know, huffing gas as a kid, like, that's not good. That's probably a sign you might be an addict. And I knew to do that because my grandmother told me not to. She had told me she caught her sons doing it in the basement and told them, you know, that will kill you. She was very honest. She did not lie. She didn't mean to hurt your feelings by her honesty, but she didn't realize by telling me that I wanted to do it. And Gen X, like, we were all, your friends are your neighborhood, you know. We didn't have all that stuff, and you were friends with who you lived by, and we were all fucking bad kids. We would, what one didn't come up with, the other one did, you know, and we were all huffing the gas, and because at the time, that's all we could get our hands on, other than cigarettes, and, you know, then we started buying weed from my friend's older siblings, and it would be just stems and seeds back then. But just stupid shit like that. Stealing beer from grandparents' basements and drinking it. And just, you know, I realized I've been an addict for a long time. And I think, too, like I said, I didn't consider myself that until I needed it every day to survive. And by that time, I should have been old enough to know better, so I kept telling myself, you know, I was in my probably mid-30s or something, like, I'd been around long enough, and a friend of ours even begged us, you know, when we started, Oxy's was big. So we started, you know, thinking we could deal the drug and not do the drug, which is fucking stupid. And in the beginning, we were making $800-900 a month selling them, because the guy had no clue what, you know, what was up. And very quickly, it became, instead of us making $800 or $900, we were owing him money. And, you know, that's kind of when it's like, oh fuck. And then eventually you get sick of being sick and all that. But some things that I learned from my sponsor was how to pray again. I lost that. Not that I never prayed during all those years. But, and there's really no right and wrong way to pray, but I wasn't praying right. You know, I would pray for everyone but myself. I don't know. I lost that conscious contact. I did the foxhole prayers all the time. God, you know, because I wanted to quit the drug and the hustle and all that. So I also didn't want anyone to know I was an addict. My kids didn't know. And that was very unfair to my partner because they knew their dad was an addict. You know, when he'd fall asleep in a spaghetti plate, all that shit. But I tried to keep it, because they were older, you know, they're not stupid. And I would try to keep it to the level that I didn't start nodding out till the end of the evening when I could say, oh, I'm sleepy, you know. So I hid that from them, and I felt tons of guilt for it because he took all the, you know, and I was the one that was, and it just, that fucked me up, I'm sure. So I start praying again, and through the help of my sponsor, she even told me, like, one thing to pray every night, you know, and it's just, I did, and I still do every night. You know, show God, you know, show me the next right thing and give me the power to carry it out. That is my prayer. I mean, and he does, you know. And I feel like I've been lacking in that lately, that contact. And I know that's why my life feels fucking crazy right now. You know, I'm kind of like, when I got clean, you know, for the first while, it was just heaven on earth. Like everything, you know, your feelings. And I cried a lot just because I had feelings and emotions again. And, you know, it just felt so free. And then my sponsor told me and taught me that my recovery is mine and his is his. I didn't get that. And it took me a while to get it because I was constantly, I took care of him through the whole addiction. I mean, you know, he had 9 DUIs in 35 years. He would call me and I would go get him, save him, get him out of there before the cops come. It was a constant. I would say, I don't know how many nights I spent riding around to different bars looking for him. You know, I'd have to fucking pull him out of bars. Because at that point, drinking was not my drug of choice, even though I tried to do it my whole life and get good at it, I never did. So at like 40, I realized, you know, this shit, you don't even like it. You don't like the way it makes you feel. You get fucking sick and hungover. Like, this is something you can start with. You can quit this. Where my partner, and we've been married 36 years, and when he went to rehab, I was afraid because everyone said, you're not going to make it together. You can't. Like, the percentage is, you know, and I heard all that. And I didn't go to rehab. I rehabbed at home with my mother's help. We used together for quite some time. She got clean on her own, and she helped me get clean. She came and made sure I had food to eat, that I was eating. I couldn't afford to go to rehab at that time, or maybe I should have, but I was still in that kind of not wanting anyone to know, you know?
Yeah.
Embarrassed, whatever, and so I also have to mention that when I decided to quit using the Suboxone, or not the real stuff, you know, the heroin, all that, because I am a secret addict, didn't go to a doctor for help. I sought Suboxone from other people that got them. So I did that for a while, and I didn't start big either, you know. I was, because I know what they do. They give you a ton, you don't need a ton. And that's how I had my connections. My one girlfriend, she loved meth, so she would, you know, sell me those, da, da, da. So I was still doing, you know, I wasn't actually doing it, but yeah, I was. You know, it wasn't legal, it wasn't, and then I found, as I tried, you know, to wean down, no, nope. And I kept working on it. And I finally got down to, back then they were the strips, a teeny quarter every morning. I couldn't get out of bed without it, just that teeny piece. I couldn't. It laid right at my nightstand, under my tongue. 10 minutes later, I could get up and do my day. I was sick by the end of the night, but I did it, you know, and then I went every other day, and I was sick every day in between, and I just got sick of it. Then, you know, my connection was gone. I had nowhere to get it, and I'm like, fuck this shit, I'm done, you know, I'm fucking done, and that's how that happened. And then, you know, we found NA, and like I said, my great sponsor got me back with God, and I realized that my recovery is mine, his is his. I can't control it. There's nothing I can do about it, because my whole life, if anything happened between us, I would say, a lot of our life, I would say, you have to leave. You cannot come back unless you quit drinking. If you love me, you'll quit drinking and you'll come back. I never knew that that doesn't work. I never ever knew that, ever, until here. And what a relief. Yeah. Like, you don't even know the weight off my shoulders. Like, wow. So, yeah, I mean, it was just so freeing. And I'm a worrier. I make mountains out of molehills my whole life. And I think I get it. My grandparents raised me. My grandmother worried, you know, hypochondriac. Maybe I get a little bit of, I just to be able to turn everything over to him is also like a huge, like, I don't have to worry about this. It's not my place to worry about this. Like, if my daughter was upset, I was upset. We would fight, you know, and it would ruin my day, and I'd be so wrapped up in her bullshit. And she's an adult, you know, and she taught me to put up boundaries, and I did that with her. And now we have a wonderful relationship, which she got the mental health she needed, and I do agree that mental health can be a part of this. I think we've used so long that we don't know what's wrong. You know, we have no clue what might be going on up there. And that's helped me too. But the whole Just for Today thing, you know, just doing some reading that I've done lately, you know, it's all about your higher power. And of course, you know, just living in the moment. And, you know, there was one, I'm bad at remembering from there, but it was like just for today, like, you don't have to worry about your pain from the past or the fear of the future. That's me. I am scared, and I never knew. I thought I wasn't afraid of shit. I was a tough bitch. I just fucking, you know, all this and all that. That wasn't me. Like, I didn't even know who I was. I wasn't even an adult until, like, in my 40s. That's fucking sad. So sad. Like, everyone should have to do steps. I don't care if you're an addict or not. It will better your life, period. Like, it's amazing what it will do for you. And I feel myself slipping sometimes. I mean, we keep the Bedford meeting going. There's only a couple of us, you know. I did H&I when I could. I want to do it again. I absolutely love doing that. But I want to get more into service to stay more connected and to remember that this is shit I need to do every fucking day. I need to think about what I am grateful for that day. And I need to quit worrying about what might happen next week. We have enough shit we have to be responsible about to, you know, for future things. Of course, there's things we can't just say, you know. But I learned how not to project all this bad shit. Like, and have hope and think positive and like I said, be able to turn it over to God and know that I have a family here that's clean. Like, yeah, I lost friendships, but the good thing is sometimes it'll come back around, because I lost contact with my best friend ever, and we used together. We moved away. We moved 4 hours north to Wellsboro, thinking, new town, you know, new place. We had no clue of NA yet, you know. So we go up there, and granted, the first first couple of years, you know, we felt like we were doing really good. Like, we only ever owned one car. We moved up there, we had two cars. You know, it just seemed like things were going, but we were still going out drinking on the weekends and, you know, partying here and there. And then, you know, that drug's everywhere. So, of course, you know, it didn't take long to happen there, you know. But yeah, I have a hard time with the whole, like, my son. Well, first of all, we thought we were adults when we were 16. We wanted to be together, so we planned on getting pregnant at 16. Like, what the fuck? So we do, because we just wanted to get out of home and be able to live together and be together. So we have our first child at 17. And, you know, we were adults from then on out. No. And my son, he saw a lot of it. We took him to Peggers with us. You know, people pay him to take him, get him a beer out of the tap. They give him a tip, and he thought that was cool. Like, we took our kids, we partied, you know. If we went outside kid party, our kids were there, you know. A little girl up there singing on the stage, you know. And like, that, she doesn't remember a lot of that, but my son does. And actually, I stopped at my dad's grave one day. And it was so weird. I stopped there to talk to him, because we were going through, it was like at that time, like, you gotta either get clean or else. And I walked back to the truck and I got in, my phone rang, and it was my son, who at the time was probably late 20s, you know. And he said, Mom, he said, I know what you're doing. He said, and if you didn't stop, he said, I don't ever want to speak to you again. He said, don't contact me. And that's it. That was my day. Like, I'm done. This can't happen. Like, my son has always treated me like a queen. He's never mouthed off to me even. Like, he is so respectful, and he was just always like, Mom, you don't deserve this shit. Like, if something bad would happen, she's like, it was just so always there for me, and just treated me like I said, like, I couldn't have asked for a better son, my firstborn, and so fucking smart, too smart for his own good. Then I realized how he knew I was using. And it was because we were stupid enough to let him date one of our friends who used, because she was younger than us. Because we were, you know, we didn't leave her, like, fucking. So I taught him, and she begged him. She said, please help me get better. And he said, I will. And she said, I don't want you to let me go anywhere but work and back. And she said, you're allowed to look through my purse. You know, she said, I need help. And so I told him all the signs, the pinhole, you know, the everything. And I told him myself. He saw that in me, and he knew. And again, their relationship did not work out. It was bad. But I'm back in contact with her, because we were in Wellsboro. She's originally from Somerset. And guess what? She's fucking clean, and she's in the fucking program. My best friend that we moved away, and as soon as we left, she lost her son, which was like my son at 5 years old. It was just such a fucking mess. And she was bad for a long time. But she got clean way before me, and guess what now? We got it back, and she's my fucking best friend. And like, just to have people that you love so much your whole life back again. And another one, my addict friend in Wellsboro. I lost touch with her for years and years and years. And she was living in Kensington. And she probably has one of the saddest stories I could ever tell. I'm not gonna tell it, but she's fucking 3 years clean, you know? If she can do it, anybody can do it. That's, I look at people, you know, we can all do it. It's available. All we need is just to reach out and ask, you know? And now I have her back in my life, and just, it's just amazing. Like, it just, I've lost people, but I've also got them back, you know, because of this program. And I know I need to keep in better contact. I need to pray more. I need to not just talk it, but live it, because I am not perfect. And I was saying before, in the beginning, it was like heaven on earth, you know, what do they say about the pink clouds or whatever. And it's hard to stay, to keep it that way, because you fall into the, you know, and it becomes routine, but it just, it's easy to think you've got it and to take a step back and to not pray as much, or, you know, and lately things have been really shitty feeling for me. Like, I don't have that heaven on earth feeling anymore. I have that almost like fuck it feeling anymore. And that's why reading all this and kind of preparing for today was something he sent me that I was asking for, because it made me realize I'm not doing this. But like, that's what I got from this, is that I need to keep that going and strong and do everything, do all the things daily. Not weekly, not when I'm feeling bad. When I'm having a good day, it doesn't matter. I gotta stick with the program, and I just have to keep doing what I'm doing. And get out of my comfort zone. This is my first time literally doing that. I've never spoke before. I've never been asked before. I've been clean 7 years. It's high fucking time to get uncomfortable. And I didn't call my old sponsor before this, but I'll probably call her after, just to thank her for all the amazing shit that she has taught for me. And I used to tell her, you are so smart. She hated that. She's like, don't call me smart, I'm experienced. And I said, okay, whatever. But I miss her very bad. She moved away, and she's like, you know, you're gonna have to eventually get another sponsor. But we hung on for a year, and then I, you know, got another sponsor. But she was meant for me. God gave me the courage that day to walk up to that badass bitch with all the fucking tattoos, muscles, like fucking, if you knew her, you'd know what I mean. Like, she's the girl in the crowd that will burp real loud and not even say excuse me, you know? Like, she's a badass. But God gave her me and gave me the courage to ask her, because no other sponsor could have got me to do what she did. And I truly believe that. Truly believe that. She was so hard on me, and I needed it. And I was so scared when I didn't call her when I was supposed to. And I would get so afraid and scared of her and what was gonna happen. I'd wait a couple more days. And the whole time, fear, you know, in my head, just telling myself, why aren't you calling her? Why can't you fucking call her? Like, what's so hard? And I would finally do it. And I'd be waiting for... And she'd say, hey, how are you? It's good to hear from you. And you know, that's it. And I'm like, you stupid bitch. Like, why did you do that? So And I still didn't reach out to women like I should. I've seemed to have a lot of male friends. Like, I heard a girl speaking earlier. I always hung out, got along good with the guys. Maybe, you know, I had my few very good girlfriends, but not a lot of women around, you know what I mean? So it was hard for me when she asked me to reach out to all these women that I don't know. And, you know, like I said, I'm Gen X, you know, all this new stuff, and, you know, I would make up any excuse to her, but I still need to be more uncomfortable. I need to talk to women. We were at our little picnic, and me, my sponsor, my sponsee sisters were sitting there, and then there was this other group of women sitting over there, and I was kind of like, do you guys feel like some women are kind of like stuck up, or, you know, maybe think they're better than us, or like, I've tried to talk to them, and I feel like they don't really, you know, I feel still like I'm not even being heard type, you know, and I end up just quietly walking away, you know. We're all sitting there thinking about it, and I looked at my sponsor, and I said, wait a minute. I said, look at them, and then stand back and look at us. Who would you want to talk to? Not us. You know, I mean, like, I think we put off that, don't approach me, and we don't even realize we're doing it. We do it out of fear, and those girls aren't like that. That's all in my head, you know, and I got to get over that, too. But, yeah, I am trying to live just for today, just in the moment. Not worry about everything. That, like I said, was a big problem of mine. And this program, I definitely would not be here clean today without it. Nor would I be a mature adult. I would still be making poor decisions and thinking they were good ones. And God only knows where I'd be. But, yeah, I thank God for this program, because it's taught me how to live, how to grow, how to keep growing, how to be a better person. I still lose my cool sometimes at work, and then after I realize it, though, and right away I'm sorry for it, and I do what I need to do to make up for it. But that's just it. We have the tools now, and we can do this with those tools. We can do this. We can do it. And yay, I think I'm done. That's all I have. Thank you.
You're good. I think you did great.